It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Good morning and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, July 10. How are we doing this morning? Hope you're having a great Sunday. Lots going on in the world of golf, and we'll try to get it all in this hour. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Ivy Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for men and women, featuring the exclusive ice fill cooling technology along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Visit IBKUL, that's IBKUL.com to learn more. Well, this weekend, I am thrilled to tell you that my dear friend, Leslie Ann Wade, married golf legend Tom Watson. That's right, Leslie Ann Wade, who used to head up public relations for CBS Sports and is co-founder of White Tee Partners, an eight-time majors champion, Tom Watson, they tied the knot. And I've been at the festivities all weekend long to celebrate this amazing union. Next Sunday, I will share with you some of the wonderful details from the wedding weekend where I am now. So that's really the big news in the world of golf. And it's very personal for me as well, as I've known Leslie Ann Wade since the 80s. And I'm just absolutely delighted for her and Tom Watson. Tom Watson. Boy, talking about the Open Championship coming up. He won the Open Championship five times in a span of 9 years, which is just remarkable. So the Open Championship is approaching, coming up this Thursday at the home of golf, St. Andrews in Scotland. It will be an historic 150th edition of the Open Championship, the 30th time that St. Andrews will be hosting this major championship. And Tiger has been prepping for this major, saying at the J.P. McManus Charity Pro-Am at Adair Manor in Ireland this past week that he is ready for St. Andrews. And he said he wants to be able to give it at least one more run at a high level. He's been saving his ailing body for this championship. He has said St. Andrews is his all-time favorite course. Of course, he missed the U.S. Open at the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts last month. His first major back after his near-fatal car accident in February 2021 was the Masters in April, where he finished 47th. And then he played the PGA Championship at Southern Hills in Oklahoma in May. But he withdrew after the third round, just not able to physically continue. So now the golfing world is in just great anticipation to see Tiger Woods play St. Andrews again, where he won the Open Championship there in 2000 and 2005. And I was privileged to be there to cover both of his stunning victories at St. Andrews. In 2000, Tiger won by 8 shots. Over Ernie Els and Tomas Bjorn. He set a tournament record of 19 under for the championship. It was the second of 4 straight major wins for Tiger on his way to his infamous Tiger Slam. He had won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach by 15 shots in June of 2000, just a few weeks prior to the St. Andrews, his first Open Championship win at St. Andrews. In July of that year, 2000, finishing 12 strokes under par at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, 15 shots ahead of Miguel Angel Jimenez and Ernie Els, who both tied for second at 3 over par. So after Tiger's amazing 8-shot win at St. Andrews in 2000, he went on to win the PGA Championship at Valhalla, his 5th major title at that point, in a 3-hole playoff over Bob May. And then Tiger won the 2001 Masters, 2 strokes ahead of David Duval, where he completed the famed Tiger Slam, which was winning 4 straight major titles. And boy, how fortunate I feel to have been at each one of those major championships to watch Tiger just dominate in golf. It was just extraordinary. And there are 112 bunkers on the old course at St. Andrews. And I remember that back in 2000, Tiger did not hit in any of them. Can you imagine? No matter how good one is playing, you know, a lot of times the wind will just take your ball and push it into the bunker. The hard links ground, the ball just goes on. You can't really control, you know, the distance because of the hardness of the links course. But Tiger managed to avoid every bunker that year on the old course for four straight rounds. It was just uncanny. And I went back and read some of the quotes after that win in 2000 at St. Andrews. And Tiger said, "That's how golf is meant to be played. You have to think about your placement. You have to picture a trajectory and shape and try to hit that shape and that trajectory on your spot, and it will be fine. If you don't, there's a chance that you can get some pretty bad shots out there." Well, absolutely. I mean, what a treat to see Tiger in his prime, and particularly at that 2000 St. Andrews win, where he didn't hit into any of the bunkers all four straight rounds. And then at the 2005 Open Championship at St. Andrews, Tiger won wire to wire, five shots ahead of Colin Montgomery. And that win completed Tiger's second career Grand Slam. And he was 29 years old at the time. And, you know, aside from his wire to wire victory, what I remember most about that 2005 Open Championship at St. Andrews was that the weather was unusually hot for Scotland most of the week in the 80s. And guys were running around, fans were running around in shorts and no shirts, and everybody was in a party mode because they were just so excited that it was dry for most of the week and so hot. And all the pubs were just overflowing with people who were just elated that it was just unusually warm. And of course, the winds picked up and the course got hard and dry, and there was some rain later in the week, but it was a lot of fun to be a part of that Tiger wire-to-wire victory in 2005. So, and also that year, Jack Nicklaus made his final appearance at a major, waving goodbye on the infamous Swilken Bridge, that small stone bridge located between the first and the 18th fairways on the old course. And, you know, everybody who plays St. Andrews has to get their photo taken of them on the Swilken Bridge. And all the golf stars pay homage to it, as Jack Nicklaus did in 2005, waving goodbye at the age of 65. In 2010, Tom Watson, there's a great photograph of him kissing the bridge. And I have a copy of the famous photograph of Arnold Palmer saying his final farewell in 1995 on the Swilken Bridge. So it's just iconic. There's not a more famous bridge in all of golf. So Tiger will be back in St. Andrews this week, and it will be most fascinating to see how he plays. The old course is flat. It's very compact. So it's certainly much easier to walk and navigate than the extreme elevation of Augusta National and Southern Hills. And sadly, it will most likely be Tiger's final walk across the Swilken Bridge at St. Andrews. Even Tiger said he didn't know when they will ever go back while he's still able to play at a high level. So he is probably anticipating his fond farewell. And photographers, I'm sure, will be gearing up to snap those photos of Tiger's goodbye on the Swilken Bridge, if that is indeed the case. This morning, I will talk with Adam Shupak, senior golf writer for Golf Week USA Today, about the Open Championship and who we picked to win. I mean, any number of players can shine. Whomever can withstand the wind, the elements, has a great ground game on the links course, who can stay out of trouble out of all those bunkers, and obviously who makes putts. Xander Schauffele is coming in hot, having won the Travelers Championship. He won the J.P. McManus Pro-Am earlier this week in Ireland. Colin Morikawa is the defending champion. He won at Royal St. George's last year. Will Zalatoris, how will he do on the links layout? He's come in second at the U.S. Open in June, the PGA Championship in May, and at last year's Masters. So it's just a matter of time before Will Zalatoris will win a major title. I think I'm going to go with John Rahm. Of course, he'll have to be at his best, stay out of trouble, avoid all the bunkers, and really be putting extraordinarily well. Alison Metcalf, Vice President at Tourism Ireland, will join us in a few minutes. There was a lot of star power in Ireland this past week at both the J.P. McManus Pro-Am held at Adair Manor outside of Limerick, and the Irish Open, which took place at Mount Juliet in Ireland. And after Tiger played at Adair Manor, he and Rory McIlroy went to Belly Bunyan. Tiger said he didn't want anybody to know where he was going to practice while in Ireland, so they didn't have a ton of people watching. But he is getting ready for the Open Championship in Scotland, and he'll probably remain in Ireland until the Open Championship starts at St. Andrews on Thursday. There are so many challenging links courses in Ireland, and obviously at Adair Manor, it's mostly flat. Tiger did use a golf cart there, but he's doing everything he can to get ready for St. Andrews while trying not to tax his body and his legs and his feet in particular. Well, the war of words continues between players on the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. Earlier in the week, Billy Herschel, who supports the PGA Tour, called the guys on the LIV Golf Tour hypocrites, not telling the truth. And, we've heard many of them say they are playing on the Saudi-funded LIV Golf Tour for the good of the game, which I think is a crock. It's really for the good of the money and their bank accounts. But then you have Pat Perez, who was complaining that when he was on the PGA Tour, the tour made him miss his son's birth because the PGA Tour schedule is just so demanding. Well, when you look at the LIV Golf schedule for next year, they plan to increase to 14 tournaments. And from what I understand, the guys who join LIV Golf are under contract to play in all of them. Graham McDowell, who normally plays in his country's Irish Open, could not play it this year because of the conflict of the LIV Golf event at Pumpkin Ridge in Oregon. Well, so much for free agency for the players and having more of a choice with their schedules. It's not going to happen with this LIV Golf Tour. Rory McIlroy recently said that peace talks need to happen between the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and LIV Golf. He said he wished it hadn't become so messy. He did say he thinks in the long term it will make the game better, as it will force the tours to adapt and change and make the product better. I dare say, do I hear Rory stepping back a bit from his criticism of LIV Golf? Well, we'll see what's next in this crazy battle, as LIV Golf will continue to dangle tons of cash in an effort to sway more stars from the PGA Tour to jump ship. The Scottish Open is being played at the Renaissance Club in North Berwick, Scotland. And a couple years back, Rory and several other players criticized that some of the courses on the European Tour play too easy. And so Padraig Harrington is consulting with course architect Tom Doak, and they have made the course at the Renaissance Club a little tougher, apparently. But, it's really all about the wind. And when and if the wind picks up, many of these so-called easier layouts become very, very challenging. So they have to take that in consideration, obviously, in Scotland and Ireland, where the wind and the rain and, the elements are really a huge factor. Next stop for the LPGA is the Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational in Midland, Michigan, July 13th through the 16th. Coming up, we'll take a look at both the J.P. McManus Pro-Am at gorgeous Adair Manor and the Irish Open. And we'll talk Irish golf with Alison Metcalf, VP for Tourism Ireland. But first, let me tell you that IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. IB Cool offers multifunctional, intelligent, the exclusive moisture sensor fabric featuring the ice field technology that cools your body so you can stay comfortable and odor-free on hot and humid days. IB Cool apparel also features UPS 50 plus sun protection, colorful, stylish, ultra-soft fabric with the latest technology to protect your skin Look and feel your best. Learn more at IBKUL. That's IBKUL.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the action on the field and in the dugout with Season 2 of Play Loud. Follow some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor in the field, and catch all the hilarious conversations between players off the field with unprecedented access. Watch episodes of Play Loud at youtube.com/MLB. Play Loud brings you baseball like you've never seen before.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Michael Phelps.
You know, I think for me in 2014, when I found myself in that dark, dark place where I didn't want to be alive in those 4 days when I was in my room by myself, after sitting there and thinking about everything, I wanted to find a different way. I wanted to find a different answer. I was sick and tired of feeling how I felt, and that's why I started to seek help, and that's when I checked myself into a treatment center.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.
A bad team facing a good team is never completely out of it.
Nick Kostos, co-host of You Better You Bet. 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the BetQL Network.
There's 162 games in the season. The best teams are going to lose 60-plus times, and the worst teams are going to win 60-plus times. Each night is its own individual entity. That's what makes betting on the baseball regular season so much fun.
All the insight you need to bet smarter is at BetQL.com. And listen to You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley, streaming weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Odyssey.
Did you have a dream last night? If not, are you sure?
Everyone dreams for about 2 hours per night.
We just don't have the tape recorder running.
Do pilots get jet lag? Are we ever going to get a hangover cure? Did the dinosaurs have feathers?
They had feathers.
Figured I'd give you that one. My name is Mike Simpson. This is what we do on my podcast. It's called I've Got Questions. Chameleons are not what you think. Beer used to be a drink at breakfast. Let's learn some stuff. New episodes Thursdays. I've Got Questions on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to History Is Us. I'm Dr. Eddie S. Glaude Jr. Join me as we journey through history to face the ugly truths at the heart of the American story. Throughout this series, we explore who we are as a nation. Listen to History Is Us, a creation and presentation of Shining City Audio, a C-13 Originals, and John Meacham Studio. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori, brought to you by Johnny O Apparel. East Coast traditional meets West Coast casual, the best of both worlds, apparel for men and boys. Visit www.johnny-o.com to learn more. And my guest this morning, Allison Metcalf, Vice President for Tourism Ireland. Welcome to Talking Golf, Allison.
Great to be back, Ann.
Great to talk with you. It's always one of my favorite subjects, Ireland. And lots of activity in Ireland this past week involving the top players in the game, from the Irish Open at Mount Juliet to the JP McManus Pro-Am at Adair Manor, Allison.
Yeah, it's been an exciting week. And as you say, there's been a massive spotlight on Ireland and Irish golf with the two events, as you mentioned, the Irish Open at Mount Juliet in Ireland's Ancient East, and of course the JP McManus Pro-Am, which attracted 9 out of the top 10 golfers for the 2-day sort of 36-hole charitable event. So a lot of interest and a lot of great positive publicity coming out of Ireland over the last 2 weeks as it relates to golf.
And Adair Manor is just one of the many incredible venues, right, in Ireland. I remember visiting Adair Manor many times when Tom and Judy Kane owned it. They're an Irish-American couple from New Jersey. And I remember Tom telling me he bought Adair Manor sight unseen. And I think back then he paid £2 million for it. And they transformed Adair Manor into this 62-bedroom, 5-star luxury resort. And they commissioned Robert Trent Jones Sr. to design the golf course. And then back in 2015, JP McManus, he purchased it for $30 million, one of Ireland's multi-billionaires, right? It's just such a great story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, JP McManus, as you say, purchased it back in 2015 and has obviously spent a significant amount of money totally revamping both the hotel and obviously the golf course as well. So the hotel now has 104 guest rooms and suites in addition to there's lodges and garden cottages, has an amazing spa. And they've obviously renovated and totally expanded the clubhouse and the investment into the golf course obviously has been significant as well. So it really is one of Ireland's premier golfing resorts, and obviously to such an extent that it will host the 2027 Ryder Cup. So very exciting. I mean, it really has been sort of rebuilt from the bottom up, and it becomes one of the great places to stay and one of the great places to play golf.
I know the golf course, they call it the Augusta National of Ireland. It is just in perfect shape. Tiger played. It was actually his first time he played since the PGA Championship. Xander Schauffele, he won. He shot a 64 and then a 70. Xander coming off his Travelers Championship title. Padraig Harrington, he tied the course record at 64. Leona Maguire. So you had all these wonderful Irish players there.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was, I think the who's who of golf certainly landed on at Adair Manor this last weekend. And obviously, because it was a pro-am, the world of celebrities also descended on the stunning course. So it's an event that typically is played every sort of 5 years, but hasn't been played, I believe, since about 2010. So it was a great event. And I think it's a unique event because for the 35 or 40,000 spectators were there, it really does give them an opportunity to get up close and almost personal with some of the leading PGA Tour players. It's an event that obviously raises a lot of money for great causes, for charities. And over the last number of years, significant amounts of money have been raised primarily to support charities in the Midwest region of Ireland, but also in other parts of the country and the world. So yes, it was a fantastic event, and just watching some of the TV coverage, it looks very informal. And as you say, there were celebrities there. Bill Murray was there, Jamie Dornan was there, Niall Horan was there, as well as other Irish celebrities. So I think a great time was had by all. And it was obviously a great opportunity to showcase, the very best of Irish golf. And I think the hospitality, I mean, that 19th hole also came across and certainly in a lot of the coverage and a lot of the publicity on social media as well.
The Irish Open was last weekend, played at just another gorgeous estate in Ireland, Mount Juliet. Shane Lowry played, Padraig Harrington. There's just so many great spots. When you talk about Ireland, you know, you love to send people to the castles and to the estates, but the B&Bs are just charming. There's just such a great variety, Alison.
There are. That's right. I mean, there's something for every taste and also for every sort of pocketbook. But I think what a lot of American travelers like, whether they're golfers or not, is to do that mix and match, is to, treat yourself and stay in some of the great castles, but also in some of our smaller country house hotels that are independently owned and offer a unique brand of hospitality, as well as some of the guest houses. And also increasingly popular are house rentals or cottage rentals, or you can even take wings of stately homes as well. So again, particularly for folks traveling with other family members or small groups, so there's something for everybody. But I think that the one thing that is true throughout is the unique brand of hospitality that everybody can expect, wherever they're staying and wherever they venture out into small towns and villages on and off the golf course.
And talking about major championships, Royal Portrush will be hosting the 2025 Open Championship, really coming off so soon after 2019 when Irish's own Shane Lowry won the Open Championship at Royal Portrush by 6 shots. So it's exciting that Royal Portrush is getting the Open Championship so soon.
Yeah, I think it's testament to the success of the 2019 championship. Listen, both you and I were there, and it was a great, great event. We had all four seasons of weather, and I'll never forget the final day when Shane Lowry came up the 18th fairway in the pouring rain to an absolute rapturous crowd of home supporters But yes, the fact that it's going back in 2020 is testament to that great success. It's going to again put a spotlight on Ireland as a world-class golfing destination. So 2025, 2027 with Ryder Cup, and then of course, the Irish Open will be back again next year. And I see Rory McIlroy has confirmed that he will return to the Irish Open in 2023. So I think what you're going to see over the next few years is obviously world-class golfers playing in Ireland, but also our homegrown talent, the Irish golfers, making sure that they also play in home events around the island of Ireland. And it was just great to see some of the other PGA Tour players in Ireland practicing ahead of, the opening Open Championship at St. Andrews next week, the week after next.
Isn't that great that Rory has already committed to next year's Irish Open? And I know Shane Lowry played this past week, Padraig Harrington. You just have to love the fact that these people, these players stay committed and loyal to the Irish audiences and fans.
Yeah, I think they want to play in front of the home crowd. They want to give people the opportunity to see them play. Plus, I think that, at the end of the day, this is where they honed their skills and they're very proud of the fact. And Ireland obviously offers some of the best golf you'll find anywhere in the world, particularly as it relates to links courses. So it's great to see, and it's great to see new Irish golfers coming onto the scene. Seamus Power and others, and obviously in the ladies' game with Leona Maguire. It continues through the generations here. I mean, we've got everybody from, as you say, Padraig Harrington now on the Champions Tour, right way through to young up and coming players continuing to feed that great Irish golfing pipeline.
I have to tell you, for a small country, Ireland has produced incredible players. I mean, Padraig Harrington, you mentioned, 3-time major title winner. He just won the U.S. Senior Championship. Incredible. You mentioned, Paul McGinley now he's former Ryder Cup captain. Now he's on the Golf Channel with his expert commentary. Darren Clark, Graham McDowell, Rory, of course, Rory McIlroy with his multitude of major titles. Shane Lowry having won the Open Championship in 2019. And you mentioned Seamus Power, who won in 2021. He's moving up the rankings very quickly, Seamus.
That's right. And I think it's probably worth pointing out that in Ireland, to a large extent, a lot of people grow up playing golf, and it's a much more inclusive and much more accessible game. And as a result of that, I think, obviously a good number of folks, bubble to the top and have managed to break into those upper echelons of the professional game. So, yes, long may it continue.
Leona Maguire, you had mentioned, Allison. She was a top world amateur, went to Duke, and she just has had such a great start, already won an LPGA title in 2022. I didn't realize she has a twin sister. Did you know?
That's right. She does. She does. Again, I think she's obviously a great ambassador for the game and particularly for the ladies game in Ireland. There's also Stephanie Meadow, who's also out there and went to the Olympics with Leona representing Ireland. So, I think that it's a lot changing and a lot happening in the ladies game, as we know. And I think it's great that we have Irish golfers that are a part of that.
Yeah, they just represent the country incredibly well. And Ireland has 1/3 of all the world's links courses. So, when planning a golf trip, people always ask me, where should I go? What courses should I play? And what do you recommend? There just are so many exceptional links courses and resort properties. How do you recommend one plans their trip to Ireland?
Well, I think, as you say, there's people are traveling primarily for the links courses. The great thing in Ireland is you can base yourself in a different region and play a good number. So if it's your first visit, often golfers want to play some of the signature, the trophy courses, Royal Portrush, Royal County Down, Ballybunion, Lahinch. So you certainly probably want to start with some of those courses. But I think it's important to, you can base yourself and have a nice itinerary in the southwest of Ireland, then you can move up to the Midwest and move into the Northwest. And some of the, we call them hidden gems or less discovered courses, but they're becoming increasingly discovered. There's some great links courses in the North and Northwest. So in Sligo and in Donegal, so courses like Enniscrone, Ballyliffin, Now an important new up in Donegal again, a new Gil Hans course there, Rosa Penna, the new Tom Doak St. Patrick's course, which, you know, again, has received great acclaim, and it only opened in June 2021, and already it was ranked by a golf magazine at number 55 in the top 100 world rankings. So again, there's some great golf courses in that northwest, and from there you can move around to Northern Ireland, to Castle Rock, Port Stewart, Royal Portrush, and then come down and do Royal County Down. If you're looking at the Midwest, you've obviously got Lahinch and Doon Beg in the southwest, Ballybunion, Waterville, you've got a lot of options there. And if, for example, you don't have that much time and you're spending it, you know, you're in Dublin, again, there's some, you know, some nice courses on the East Coast. You can play, you know, you've got Portmarnock, you've got Royal Dublin. You can move up north of Dublin to Baltrae and then head up to Ardglass and Royal County Down. So I think the point is you can base yourself in a particular region. So South Wales, you might base yourself in Killarney or Waterville. You can base yourself in and around Sligo and Donegal and play multiple courses, then move to Northern Ireland. So you don't have to be moving on every single day. But I would recommend people spend at least a week. And if you have 10 days, then obviously you can take in a couple of regions and mix. I would mix and match between the signature courses and some of the lesser known links courses, where you will have a great golfing experience. You'll find great value. They all offer an equally famous 19th hole.
The crack is so much fun.
Crack is back.
Crack is back. The pub culture and the music is so much fun to unwind after you play either 18 or 36 and you go into the pubs and just enjoy the Irish hospitality. Really, that's one of my favorite parts of Ireland.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes Ireland unique. I think it's what makes Ireland stand out. We've got great golf, and you know, you're going to be challenged wherever you're playing, but I think it's as much about what happens off the golf course as well in the clubhouse. Again, you'll find a very warm welcome, but there's also the opportunity to explore you know, the great scenery, some of our great heritage, whether it's castles, taking a whiskey distillery. There's many great and unique experiences that are easily accessible and can easily be combined with a golfing vacation. So it is that that hospitality, which I think is special. And there's a certain informality about it, which I think most visitors enjoy.
And I love driving the country roads. It's so scenic, as you mentioned. The scenic beauty is worth the trip alone.
Yes.
Love to drive those roads.
And whether you're doing a self-drive or whether you're part of, you know, you have maybe, you know, a small executive vehicle, and you have a executive coach and you have a driver, it doesn't really matter, but it's easy to get off the beaten track. And of course, because you're going to be playing the links courses, you're on the coast, you are off the beaten track, and that's the beauty of it. You're never going to be far from that wonderful rugged coastline, which makes our links courses and the dunes so very special.
And for some travel tips, visit tourismireland.com and you'll get some ideas of some of the many things you can do in addition to playing the incredible links and parkland courses. Alison Metcalf, thank you so much for joining me with Tourism Ireland. Book your trip now to the Emerald Isle.
Thank you, Anne.
Coming up, we'll preview the Open Championship that starts Thursday at the Old Course of St. Andrews in Scotland. Adam Shupek of Golf Week will join us. But first, let me tell you that as a brand ambassador for IBCOOL, I can attest to the high-quality, performance-driven leisure apparel line that is perfect to wear on and off the course. Not only does the moisture sensor fabric keep me cool on the links, IBCOOL garments also feature UPF 50 plus sun protection. All this plus a wide variety of colorful and stylish silhouettes in tops, shorts, pants, skorts, and dresses. And men can choose from many styles as well. Look your best, protect your skin. IBCOOL. Learn more at IBKUL.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Anne Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Anne Liguori. And before we preview the Open Championship with Adam Shupak, a senior writer for Golf Week USA Today, Let me tell you that imagine if the coastal beauty of Torrey Pines married the classic layout of Wingfoot. Our friends at Johnny O have pretty much done that with apparel. The brand is East Coast Classic meets Southern California Cool. We love their performance polos on and off the course. While supplies last, spend $100 on johnny-o.com and get a free Johnny O Dop Kit, a $68 value and perfect travel companion. Use code WFAN100 on johnny-o.com while supplies last. And on his way to the home of golf for the historic 150th edition of the Open Championship is Adam Shupak, senior writer for Golf Week USA Today. Adam, thanks so much for taking the time. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me and congrats on your recent award from the Met Golf Writers.
Aren't you sweet for mentioning that? That was a special evening, Adam, and we miss seeing you and your dad. I know you guys normally come up every year, but you are heading to St. Andrews for the Open Championship. And, you know, what an iconic venue, the home of golf. It's the 30th time that the Open will be played at St. Andrews.
I didn't know that.
Can you believe it? But, and Tiger has won two of his three Open Championship titles at St. Andrews. And I remember because I was at both of them in 2000, he won by 8 shots and he led wire to wire in 2005. I remember it was really hot, like in the 80s, unusually warm for Scotland. But you've been there before, right, Adam?
Yeah, actually one of the great experiences of my life was getting to go as a teenager to the 1990 Open Championship. I spent a month in Scotland playing golf as part of an exchange program and happened to spend the week of the British Open there, living in St. Andrews and going to the tournament every day. Got to see Nick Faldo win that one. So I can't wait to get back. And I'm actually going to see the family that I lived with that week. They're still in the same house. And, you know, I haven't seen their kids in all these years. So, well, I saw them once since, but looking forward to meeting their kids, you know, and it's, they're like family.
Oh my gosh. What a great experience to spend a month in St. Andrews. It's such a quaint town. The university's right there and where, you know, old Tom Morris and his son are buried right there in that ancient cemetery. It's just beautiful town.
Yeah, it's the home of golf, and you know there are a lot of great venues to bring the Open Championship in the Rota. I loved being in Ireland, to tell you the truth, at Port Rush in 2019, but you can't top St. Andrews. It's going to be special with it being the 150th. They're doing so many other cool things. Jack Nicklaus is going to be honored, you know, and many of the other past champions like Lee Trevino. So I just think that there's, you know, the whole golf world's kind of coming together for this special week. The anticipation, like you said, of Tiger, we don't know what to expect. He made the cut at the Masters and the PGA Championship, which was, you know, flat out incredible when you think where he was last February with the car accident. But then he had to withdraw after the Saturday's third round at the PGA, skipped the US Open to give his body more time to playing the Masters, I think was gravy. I think what he always was pointing to was being back at St. Andrews. It's a flatter course. He knows it like the back of his hand. And traditionally, you know, the older guys, 50 and over guys, have done very well at the Open Championship. So I think there's a possibility he could do well. I just don't, you know, we don't know how his body's going to hold up. And I think it's just really important for him to get off to a good start. He got a little tune-up playing in the JP McManus Pro-Am over at Adair Manor. But I think, you know, we don't really know what to expect. But with Tiger, you never count him out.
Absolutely. I mean, he said he's ready for St. Andrews. He wants to be able to give it at least one more run at a high level. He had said at the JP McManus Pro-Am this past week that he wanted to play the US Open at Brookline, but physically he could not have done that. He would have put the Open Championship in jeopardy. So he's been really focusing on playing at the Open Championship. He has great memories, obviously winning there in 2000 and 2005. And, you know, he just makes it sound like his window of playing championship golf is getting less and less, Adam. So, you know, he's being honest about his limitations, physical limitations, and he just really wants to peek at this St. Andrews this coming week and give it his best shot. So we can understand why he didn't play in Brookline at the US Open.
Yeah. And I think there is, you know, this sentiment that potentially, who knows whether it be Friday or Sunday, that he could come over the Swilkenburn Bridge and pull an Arnie, pull a Jack, and maybe that's the last time we see him at a major, or potentially maybe just the last time at the Open Championship, because it could be another 5 or 6 years till they return to St. Andrews. We don't know that at this point. And, you know, and at 51, 52, is he still playing in professional golf tournaments? We don't know how that body's going to hold up. I really hope that isn't the case. Or if he does do something, it's only just a just in case. I mean, Jack retired more than once at places. So, you know, I hope this won't be the last run at St. Andrews, but I really admire the way he's put so much effort into making this a special occasion.
And he had so much fun in Ireland at the JP McManus Pro-Am, even though he had, 10 bogeys and a double in the two rounds of golf that he played in that Pro-Am. And he got to ride a cart there at Adair Manor, which was huge for, you know, to rest his legs and his feet for the Open Championship. So, boy, wouldn't it be great to see him just have an incredible finish. I mean, yes, we want him to make the cut, and he has such great memories there. So you never know a Tiger. You can never count him out.
Yeah. And I do think that it's really a perfect venue for him to have success if he's going to have it somewhere, because, you know, he can drive it all over the place there, and he's one of the best iron players. So, you know, I wouldn't count him out. I don't think he ever can count him out, but I do think this place sets up well if he's had enough time to practice and really get ready for it.
Well, let's look at some of the links specialists. You know, you have John Rahm, who, you know, has such a great game, and you know, a lot of the obviously the UK players who are used to the wind, you have to be great in the wind. You have to have that great bump and run game. And then obviously you have to make the putt. So who are some of the favorites in your opinion?
What I love about St. Andrews, I think it really, you know, we've seen different type of winners there. We've seen the bomber in John Daly, a Tiger style player. And the last time they were there, Zach Johnson. So, you know, a lot of it's going to depend on the weather and if the weather blows. I mean, one of my fears is if it doesn't blow, could somebody shoot 59 at St. Andrews? I mean, with the technology and how far these guys hit the ball. And this course was designed back in the, you know, 1700s. So they've stretched it and they can hide the pins a bit. But, at you know, the British Open has done a really good job, I think, of being okay with lower scoring. We've seen a 62 from Brandon Grace at a major there. We've seen some really low. We saw Rory shoot 63 and then, you know, an 80 the next day when the wind blew. So the defense is the wind at St. Andrews. Every hole out there could be birdieable. You know, I'm interested in seeing what Bryson DeChambeau does there. I mean, I think it always seems like length at that place, with the fact that you can spray it a bit and not get in too much trouble. You know, 1 in 18 is pretty impossible to miss the fairway there. So I think length is a huge thing. And then, you know, good putters tend to have a lot of success there.
That's right. And if it doesn't blow, as you say, somebody like Bryson could just bomb the ball. And there are a ton of bunkers you have to worry about, but the fairways are pretty wide open and the ball can just keep rolling and rolling and rolling on, you know, the hard links courses. So it'll be interesting to see how Bryson does. I mean, and then there's always the unknown, like Will Zalatoris, who was runner-up last year at the Masters, runner-up at the PGA, tied for a second at the U.S. Open. Can Will Zalatoris, can his game shift to Lynx course like St. Andrews? Will he play well? Scottie Scheffler, you know, some of these young guys, we'd like to see how they do on the Lynx.
Yeah, both of them are those two last names you mentioned. They're Texans. They're used to playing in the wind. I think Will is just an incredible ball striker. So it wouldn't surprise me. He's got so much confidence right now that it wouldn't surprise me if he got right back in the hunt. And And he just keeps knocking on the door, and pretty soon he's going to knock that door down.
Xander Schauffele, winner of the Travelers Championship. And then he just won the McManus Pro-Am. He's coming in hot. So I think it's wide open. Do you venture a pick for the Open Championship? Should I put you on the spot, Adam?
Yeah, I think the first mentioned is the guy that I think is going to win, you know, maybe 6-7 majors by the time it's all said and done. And I think John Rahm is a guy who appreciates history. He knows that, you know, Seve won a bunch of claret jugs, and it would not surprise me to see John Rahm, just a 5-tool player who just hasn't put it all together yet this year. His short game hasn't been as great. His putting has let him down a bit, but, you know, he was in contention right to the very end, for the US Open, and just kind of played a little sloppy on Sunday. You know, he's now doesn't have one of those major championships in his possession. I could see him, holding the claret jug at the end of the tournament.
Let's shift gears quickly to LIV Golf. I know you and Golf Week USA Today have been writing a lot about LIV Golf. Just fascinating, compelling stuff, really, when you look at the stars who have bolted the PGA Tour to go for what I call the money of LIV Golf. What are your overall thoughts about LIV Golf?
Well, I'm not a big fan overall, I guess I would say. I just don't see how it's good for the game. I think it's been an incredible money grab for some of these guys, for the amount of money that's been given to Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka. I've really hated seeing some guys, pledge their allegiance, so to speak, to the PGA Tour, and then the money they've found a price, and these guys are bought and sold, and it's, you know, it's blood money. This is a league backed by Saudi Arabia. And, you know, it sends a message that these guys are okay with some of the atrocities that go on over there. And I just think it's diluting the overall product. I mean, sure, some of the players, older players, maybe are past their prime, and this is allowing some younger players to step up and emerge that a little quicker than we might have discovered them. But overall, I think it's just going to dilute the product. There's going to be a lot of fighting. It's probably going to end up in court, as they're already starting to, with some of the players unhappy with the fines and bans at this point and wanting to play. It's interesting that you hear them say they're really happy that they don't have to play as much. There are only 8 live events this year, going to be 14 next year, and I believe that's the max that they've said they'll do. But then they also so they don't want to play as much. That's one of the selling points. But then they also are now suing so that they can play more golf, because they want to play in, you know, DP World Tour and PGA Tour events as well.
Yeah, I mean, so many contradictions and a lot of hypocrisy out there, as Billy Herschel, you know, called the guys hypocrites, not telling the truth. And Pat Perez, you wrote, you know, complaining that he missed his son's birth last year because of the demanding PGA Tour schedule. And yet, you know, with the PGA Tour, you're supposed to play, what, a minimum of 15 events. Well, next year, LIV Golf has 14 events on the schedule. And I think all those players are contracted to play all 14 events, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wrote in a story just recently about, you know, Graham McDowell had committed to play in the Irish Open. He would always play in the Irish Open, but he actually had committed to it as part of a agreement with the DP World Tour to allow him to skip an event and go play at the Saudi International, which was then, you know, now part of the Asian Tour. And he had to renege on that and not play his National Open because he had to be in Portland last week for the second live event. And, you know, come on, do you think he grew up wanting to play in a, you know, 54 holes shotgun start in Portland, Oregon, or was he dreaming of winning his National Open in Ireland? I mean, you know, he's now an employee. That's the big difference. Those guys have signed away their rights to when and where they'll go play.
Yeah. So much for free agency that Greg Norman was so pleased to promote, right? I mean, these guys are signed to this Saudi funded LIV Golf and 14 events next year. And yeah, they take the money, but they are completely under employment of the Saudi government, which to me is sad and very disturbing. Bryson DeChambeau, as we talked about, mentioned that on a podcast that he could have signed a deal worth over $125 million. He wouldn't come up with, promoting the exact number, Adam, but he did say it was over $125 million. So of course it's a money grab. He came in 10th place at Pumpkin Ridge and earned $560,000. This is for three rounds of golf in a shotgun start format.
Yeah, I think, the PGA Tour underestimated that they would be able to track this type of field. I was at the Genesis Invitational in February out in Los Angeles when so many of the players were committing to the PGA Tour, saying that that's where they wanted to play and they want to play against the best players in the world. And Rory, said this thing's dead in the water. I don't even think they'll be able to field 48 players. Greg Norman's going to have to play at this rate. And then, look at what they've been able to do. They certainly have picked off some of the very popular players, but those players also have some question marks. Brooks Koepka has been hurt a lot. We don't know if he can play more than 8 events these days. And Bryson has been injured for quite a while and is, just starting to make a comeback. And, with everything he's done with his body, you don't know when he's going to break down. And so whether these guys figured, well, this is a nice safety net in case I can't play beyond, another few more years, start having type of injuries that Jason Day's dealt with and you're no longer one of the top players in the world. Maybe they made a good bet on themselves by taking the money, but overall, I just feel like the product is not going to be as strong. We're probably going to see some more guys leave. And I think so much a question is, and it's another interesting thing about the British Open. This could be the last time we see all these guys playing in the same field for a long time, because the Masters isn't until April, and who knows what they're going to, how they're going to weigh in on this one. If a LIV player ends up winning the Claret Jug and the British Open, this could be like the organization seeing, a player win with a long putter, where they decide they want to, ban this so that it doesn't happen again.
Good points, Adam Shupak. And, to me, it's all about character and legacy and respect. And I certainly don't have a lot of respect for the guys who bolted after the PGA Tour did so much for them and their careers and their pockets to go to this Saudi-funded LIV Golf. I know it's a very polarizing topic and very controversial, but I'm sure you and I have the same opinion about it. Adam, we'll have a wonderful trip to St. Andrews. Have a great reunion with the family that you stayed with when you were a student there. And let's see who can pull off a victory at this, the 150th edition of the Open Championship. Adam Shupak, thanks so much for joining me.
Anytime, man.
My thanks to Adam Shupak, to Allison Metcalf, to Ed Arzuman in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by iBeCool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for men and women. Performance-driven, stylish, and ultra-soft for all your on- or off-course activities. Visit ibkul.com to learn more. And congratulations once again to my dear friend Leslie Ann Wade and her marriage to the legendary Tom Watson, which we've been celebrating all weekend long. It's so exciting. Stay tuned for Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge, and I'll talk with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.